It's
We're here.
us together
You know what's exciting?
and yet apart. What?
Our listenership is just gradually decreasing and decreasing. So this weekly, well, I think people are hearing us weekly and they're realizing that they didn't miss us. Like maybe absence
Yeah.
makes the heart grow fonder.
Let's go back to once a
So they're,
month.
or once every quarter,
I
maybe.
mean, yeah.
Oh, anyway,
Well, here we
how are
are.
you? What are you drinking?
Oh, just water.
And you're eating a fried cinnamon roll, correct?
So, yes, sometimes, maybe once every 3 years, I will fry a honey bun or a cinnamon roll in butter.
A honey bun?
Like the
Oh, that
grocery.
sounds. No, I know what a honey bun is.
Yeah.
A cinnamon roll sounds delicious.
Okay, so you take.
My father, Mary Mo Coco, I don't know, have we given him a name before?
May God rest his soul. Papa Coco.
Papa Coco. He was known to take a cinnamon roll, put a big pat of butter on top, and then microwave it for like 10
I
seconds.
mean, that's celestial.
It's good. It's real good.
Maybe that's why he died.
Maybe. I mean, he is dead, so.
I
You know
whispered
what
it
else is exciting?
just in
Oh, I'm
case.
sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
I was just saying, I whispered it just in case it would offend you if I said it in regular volume.
Or offend him, you know?
Yeah, what else is exciting?
Well, so I wanted to make a drink tonight. I don't have any of my usual drinking companions, and by that I mean the alcohol I usually drink. And I thought, oh, but I do have a whole bunch of Prosecco because I helped a friend with a party and she had a bunch of
Yeah.
leftover Prosecco and she gave it to me. So, and I've just been like, I don't normally drink Prosecco unless it's like a holiday and I'm making mimosas. So I was like, ooh, I'm gonna make a Negroni Spagliato. Oh, stunning. Do you remember those?
Oh, stunning.
Oh,
Yes.
stunning. So Negroni is gin, Campari, and sweet vermouth. A Negroni Spagliato, you substitute the gin for Prosecco. A Negroni Spagliato with Prosecco. Ooh, stunning.
Ooh,
So I thought,
stunning.
perfect. I'm going to make
Oh my God.
a Negroni Spagliato. They're delicious. Well, I went to make it. I opened the Prosecco and then went to make it and then realized I don't have any Campari, which is a bitter liqueur.
Right.
So instead, I substituted Frangelico, which is a really sweet liqueur that tastes like hazelnuts. And guess what?
Yeah.
It's terrible. It is not good.
Remember that
Am I gonna dump it
time?
out? No, I'm not. I'm poor.
I know
So
you are drinking that.
once alcohol has been poured, I will finish it because I can't be living in a world where I'm pouring out alcohol.
Remember that time, like, I don't know, like 4 or 5 years ago, we were talking about, I think it was Bailey's. And you were like, what cocktails can I make with Bailey's? Because we were both light on liquors
Right,
and mixers and
right.
stuff. And this website was like, you can make all co the standard cocktails with Bailey's. And we did, and they were all terrible.
Yeah, there
But we drank it.
that website was Baileys.com and it
We
lied.
soldiered on like soldiers.
Yeah,
And we
anyway,
drank.
this cocktail is disgusting. And it's funny because spagliato means wrong. You know, I was an Italian Mormon missionary.
Yeah.
So a Negroni spagliato is like a wrong Negroni. Like that's kind of what it implies. But
Right.
this is a wrong Negroni. This is a spagliato spagliato or something. Anyway.
What
What? Oh.
in Italian, what does così mean?
It means so. Like
Oh,
così.
that's why it's in every single Italian song that plays at the
Yeah.
restaurant I work at.
Yeah, it means like you can say like così così, which means like it's like comme ça in French. It sort of just means like so
Yeah.
so. Yeah.
There's this line of this chorus of this Italian song by two Italian artists. One is Mr. Rain and one is Clara.
Okay, those are not real people,
And
but anyway, go ahead.
the chorus starts, Il resto chi, da, 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 cozy, something like that.
That means I rest here. Na 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 na. So
So. Thank
amazing, amazing. Do you have any, before we jump right into the scintillating top five, do you have any business you want to cover?
well, do we want to tell, in case aliens ever find this episode one day, do we want to say what the name of our podcast is?
Why don't you? I feel like I usually do. Why don't you say it this time?
You usually jump right in. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Gentle listeners, this is a podcast called Hot Drinks with an A.
Yes.
If you're listening, you know that because it has the title on your phone screen. But
right. But if you're listening on the radio, maybe you don't know that.
On the radio. I'm Sister Latter-day Twaint, and you are?
I am Bishop Jack Coffey. I got promoted. I got a calling to be bishop. So
I gave myself a middle name. Did you see that our most recent Instagram post?
No. What is your middle name?
My full Hot Drinks name is Latter-day Eliza R. Twaint.
Perfect. Perfect.
I'm not sure what the R is for, but that's okay.
It doesn't have to stand for anything. Maybe it's just part of your name.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is Hot Drinks. And we're going to do a top five. Cosi. But first we'd like to cover some business. What
business?
Do you got?
Oh, I have business.
Okay.
Listen, right. Listen up.
Okay.
Okay. At a Trader Joe's near you.
Uh-huh.
You can get brown sugar cardamom buns. This is
Bitch.
What I just... This. You've had them?
No.
Oh, okay.
But this we're going to stop recording so I can make it to Trader Joe's before 9.
This is what I just fried in butter. But what I want to say about it is this.
Are they like in the bakery section? Or are they like frozen? Okay.
No. In like the pastry section. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What I want to say about it is this. Besides the cardamom, which I'm not a big fan of. Sorry.
Oh.
Besides the cardamom.
I would wear underwear made of cardamom I could.
The texture of the brown sugar topping on top, the texture of the bread itself, and mostly the taste, except for the cardamom, is exactly how a high-quality store-bought king cake should taste. And this is why I keep, and this is why I just am committed to finishing off these cardamom bums.
Why did
bums.
You buy them in the first place if you know you don't like cardamom?
I didn't know I didn't like cardamom until this.
Oh, okay.
I was doing my second successful mushroom trip and was biting into these things and feeling my roots, meaning my Louisiana upbringing.
Your Louisiana roots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's my first order of business.
Great. Well, I just have two quick things for orders of business. First of all, we've gotten a lot of orders in our merchandise shop, to which I say thank you.
Oh, yes. Thank you all.
And I also made, I don't know if you saw, I also made an I Told You shirt from Challengers, which you still haven't seen.
I still have
you're a bad person.
No.
And then I also made a shirt that says Magneto was right, that someone bought. But here's what's funny. So the way that this works is like when someone buys something, because it's a third party company that's printing these for us.
Yeah.
When someone buys something, they charge me the cost of the item that's being printed.
Uh-huh.
And then when we get our payment from Etsy, I feel like I've explained this before on the podcast, but you know, then we get the money and you know, anyway, I have a little budgeting app I use. So I just always put both of those in one area of the budget, you know, the minuses and the plus, the minuses mm-hmm. and the plus.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow when it finally is all plus, it's like $4. And I'm like, I know, I know that I am marking these shirts up more than like 10 cents each.
Yeah.
But like, we've had several orders in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
And like, and currently the Patreon or the merch money is in the negative. So I'm waiting for a payout to bring it to the positive, but I feel like it's going to be like $12.
Yeah. Oh my
so
God.
I don't know what's happening.
I don't either.
Someone who's good at budgeting, help me.
The fuck?
And then my last little bit of business is just something I need to get off my chest. It's not going to make any sense. It doesn't have to do anything. And I don't even have specific examples to share. But I feel like someone out there is going to hear this and go, yes, I agree. When a man buys a 3D printer, he thinks he is ready to solve the problems of the world. And every fucking day he is showing up with like, look what I printed. It's a holder for your blah, blah, blah. And it doesn't actually solve a problem. It's not actually helpful. But then you're like, oh, I feel like this, he spent this time, you know. And then the next day he shows up and he's like, look what I printed. You put it on the shelf here and then see it holds these things. And you're like, I didn't need anything to hold those things.
Yeah.
But the men think that they have figured it all out. They're like, I could 3D print that. And I'm just like, but shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, straight men are exhausting. Exhausting. So anyway, I just needed to get that off my chest.
Oh, I'm so glad you did. I have a couple of things and then we can introduce our top five.
Great.
I
think we should shoot for the minutes, the total podcast being 15 minutes or less, since only 200 people are listening.
That's totally fair.
Like, start
fair.
To finish 15 minutes.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to have to narrow it down to a top one then.
The top one. Okay, go ahead.
So today I started making a new piece of jewelry for Aspera, and it's so cute. It is
fucking cute.
It's a pride earring, and it is basically, we are taking one of our existing earring styles called the staple, and then I wire wrap beads around one end in the colors of the rainbow. And
it looks
it's
great.
So cute, and it's so fun to make. So look out for those. And then
and can I just say, you're hearing, like, this is a Hot Drinks exclusive. No one else has heard this yet.
That's
but
right.
we are prepared. We've always had a pride bracelet and a pride choker, and it's always been one of our best sellers. We are getting ready to launch an entire pride collection. So stand by, queers.
Hell yes.
We've got some cute new pride things for you.
Exactly, we do. And then on that pride note, and this is just part B of the same business item. You saw Mary Jo Coco yesterday, and you have new piercings in your ears.
Uh-huh, I do.
Did it come up? Did she notice?
No, she did not say a word.
Okay, great.
Which shocked me.
Good.
I had actually, because we were getting together as a family, it was for Mother's Day, you know, as one does.
All and eight I had of you? Texted, nine of you?
It was like half of the family. It wasn't everybody.
Is it eight or nine? I can't keep it straight.
There are eight children.
Okay.
So I had, before I, because I was going to come to the party late because I had to work, and I knew that Becky with a CK and her husband were bringing Mary Jo Coco to the party. And because it was Mother's Day, I didn't want to put this emotional labor on Becky with the CK. So I had texted her husband and said, on the drive up, you're going to need to prepare my mom for the fact that I have earrings now.
Yes.
Because when something happens with me that worries my mom, then she always goes and talks to Becky with a CK about it. She doesn't talk to me about it.
She gets the brunt
of
it.
She'll be like, why did Brother Coffee post that on his Instagram last night? Like, she doesn't ask me, but she asked Becky with a CK.
Aww.
So I was like, well, surely when she sees the earrings, but it was Mother's Day. I didn't want Becky with a CK to have to do that emotional labor.
Yeah.
That's not fair to her.
Yeah.
So I tasked my brother-in-law with it, but
right.
I don't, maybe he did. I don't know. I don't think he did, but Mary, no, none of my siblings said anything.
Oh,
just
I love
my
that.
Brother's girlfriend said, I love your earrings. And I said, thank you. And that was
Here's what I think. You've been out now for 7-8 years.
Uh-huh.
It's a given that you're going to have earrings.
No, I've been out for 10 years, bitch. Isn't that depressing?
What?
Isn't that depressing?
That's insane.
Depressing. Look how far I've come. Not far at all.
You're on your own journey, babe.
Oh, that's what they say. But fuck, why is everyone else's journey better than
mine? And here is my last piece of business.
Okay.
Next week is finals week.
Okay.
And my most loaded class for finals is voice and speech, which is also the last final of the week.
Okay.
This is one of my classes that's 4.5 hours.
So this is not French clown. You've already done. That will happen earlier in the week. That's easier.
And that was a different class anyway. But,
oh, okay.
But in this class, I have to do a Shakespeare monologue. I'll be doing Lady Macbeth, the one that starts, was the hope drunk wherein you dressed yourself?
Great.
And I have to do a platform speech, not memorized, but
what does that mean?
Huh?
What does that mean?
It's like a graduation speech or a speech someone gave at a rally or, oh, you know, like Martin
like
Luther King's
like one that
speech.
Already exists or do you yes. have to write the speech?
No, no, no.
Okay, okay.
One that already exists. It doesn't have to be memorized, but it has to. But she's going to be looking for a lot of things that we've been working on over the semester. And right. I chose the one that Ashley Judd did in 2017 at the Women's March.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
You know what I would choose if I did that?
What?
Remember on Designing Women when Julia Suzanne Sugarbaker was in a beauty pageant and some of the other
oh,
beauty
yeah.
queens were making fun of her. And that's... so Julia Sugarbaker came in and said, "Are you Marjorie?" And then proceeded to tell the story of when the lights went out in Georgia. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
And that, dear Marjorie, is the night the lights went out in Georgia.
Georgia. My God, you should just do it. Just cause for fun
yeah.
and record it and post
on
it
on the Patreon.
We also have to do. We will have our final quiz on the International Phonetic Alphabet, and then we have to have the following memorized and pronounced correctly in "quote unquote" neutral American. Are you ready?
Yes.
11 benevolent elephants met Lily and Lucy in Philadelphia and went to see Camelot in unique New York with guns and drums and drums and guns, which they kept in a bodega, bodega, bodega. They walked miles and miles and miles until they came across Manny and Nancy, who danced hand in hand in the sand as they sang, "Many a moon, many a moon, many a moon." Then they saw brilliant Italian William from Topeka, 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 who kept murmuring.
Does this go on much longer?
Yeah, we can stop.
Okay. No, no, it's riveting. Please keep going.
I was about halfway through. Okay.
Oh, no, then don't keep going. No,
okay,
that's too
okay.
much.
Anyway, and the name of it is Seriously Difficult Text.
Your school is weird.
And then I have to move after that final.
Oh, right. But luckily you're moving next door.
Yes, thank God.
And also don't forget you need to ship me a shit ton of jewelry.
Yeah, oh, I haven't forgotten. I haven't forgotten.
Well, that's great. Do you know what I could do? I could 3D print something that would
11
have the words.
Elephants.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Anyway. Yeah.
And I keep saying benevolent wrong. Benevolent. Benevolent.
No, it's not benevolent.
It's benevolent.
Yeah.
I was practicing
standard,
it with Lil Twain.
In standard America, is it benevolent?
So we don't do standard American anymore because that was rooted in white supremacy.
Oh, of course. I felt like I knew that in my soul back then,
exactly.
But I just didn't have the words for it.
Exactly. Exactly. And so now we have moved to neutral American,
okay.
Which you can take or leave, but it's a good baseline to have when you're going to be learning Irish or Scottish dialects. You know what I mean? So.
I do. So, yeah.
This is fascinating content.
So much. The only thing I remember about Standard American from BYU Theater Department where we met mm-hmm. was the liquid U. So you would say Tuesday.
Yeah.
And that you would say D instead of D. So you'd say, well, we'll gather together on Tuesday.
Yes. Standard American. Nobody.
And somehow, I've never met an American who says Tuesday.
Tuesday.
But somehow that was standard.
And also in standard American, the word waistcoat was waistcoat.
Yeah, which is British. So not even American.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, right. This is really boring. So let's
what?
Okay, so here's
cancel.
The thing about you and I.
Okay.
We're pretty amazing.
Okay, yeah.
We have lights that we cannot keep under bushels. You know what I mean? We are
thank
candles
you.
On a hilltop, you and I.
Yeah, for sure.
We let our light so shine amongst men. But what we've realized is the universe in her wisdom has humbled us in a few ways to help just kind of tamp down the light.
Right.
Like if that light was left to be unfettered, if that bushel was fully removed.
Then we would be
unstoppable.
Too powerful.
So this is the top five ways that the universe is keeping this little light of mine under a little bit of a tin can with some holes punched in it. Or the top five ways the universe keeps us humble.
It keeps us reined in. We don't want to be too powerful. We don't want an imbalance of power.
No, we'd do too much.
And we'd be lonely.
And right now we do too little.
We would be lonely at the top, you know?
Yeah, so let's take a little break. because this is a cold open, and soon you're going to hear our theme song. And then let's come back and talk about the ways the universe is keeping us humble.
That's how we do it.
Good night.
We don't have to sing.
Let's not.
Oh, hello, gentle listener.
Welcome to Hot Drinks before...
I'm fucking drunk.
God damn it.
Hot drinks.
Hot
drinks.
So I'm already drunk.
Like and subscribe.
It's us again.
Hey, I actually thought of actual business of the pod that I meant to talk about. So can I say that really quick?
Of course.
Okay, so last week we did our Met Gala episode. And we asked if someone was good at drawing fashion for someone to draw pictures of the fashions we described. And one of our gentle listeners, who is a recovering prude, is doing just that. And have you posted all of them to Instagram or just the
not
first
yet.
Two?
Not yet. The last two she sent me, I have not. But they need to be sent with a content warning.
They're so funny.
They're
but
so funny.
Also, a lot of... What? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, they need to be posted. This next set needs to be posted with a content warning, but also thank you, Recovering Proof.
Wait, why does it need a content warning? I can't remember.
You'll have to go back and look at it.
Okay. So, and a lot of people have suggested using AI to generate the art, and I had written down my descriptions, you know, in my phone. So I tried like multiple times and it just never turned out. So sorry. I don't know how to use AI.
It never turned out right. I could see it was about 50% there, but...
Yeah, it just wasn't where we wanted it. Okay, so what's the number one way the universe is keeping you humble?
Well, the universe just knew I would be too powerful if I had areolas.
Oh, interesting. So you don't have areolas?
According to everyone who's ever seen my tits, I don't. I mean, I do texture-wise... You know, okay. Like if you're like running your finger around my nip, you can feel that little bumpy area.
Yeah.
And I
but
can
the
see the
same color.
But I guess so.
How have you found your correct lip gloss shade? Because remember how that's the way to find your correct lip gloss shade is you zoom in on your areola.
I just use the color of my nips.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
This is wild. I have seen your tits and I haven't. Yeah. Ever looked closely. I kind of looked through my fingers, but I have not ever noticed that.
Here's what I think. You're the one straight woman that you were with. I don't know if you know this, everybody, but Brother Coffee used to be with a straight woman.
Right.
Must have had significant areolas. I mean, no, I mean the opposite. Must have had also mild areola color. Wait, what?
I'm laughing so hard. I don't remember, honestly, but I'll
call
her next time I see her.
Yeah.
You're thinking, I don't know what an areola looks like.
Because of Tisha, yeah. Because
I've only seen two tits in my whole life. My ex-wife's and yours.
Look, my most recent sexual partner.
Uh-huh.
Calls them ghost nips. he's like even your nips are like barely darker than the rest of you, but I don't know.
Interesting. Imagine you with areolas, like that'd be a lot.
I might be like the world's most famous porn star,
right?
I would be so lonely up there at the top.
Maybe you would just be the person that normalized beautiful areolas. And that would have changed all of society.
But listen, some women who are as white as me have like dark chocolate brown areolas.
You know, that's what I learned when I watched that Goop episode with the vulvas. Because you can see the curtains and the drapes. But once you get to the hidey hole, it could be a totally different journey. You know what I mean? You can have a priest. It's like, remember during COVID when like you just interacted with people with masks on? And then like I worked with people who I had never seen with a mask not on.
Yeah.
And then when they took their masks off, like it just wasn't, I don't know what I had pictured their face would look like, but it didn't feel right when they didn't have their mask on. So I think that's how it is with vulvas. Like you can imagine what you think the vulva looks like, but then you see it and you're like, "Woo, that is not what I suspected."
Exactly.
And that's like your areolas.
It's similar. Okay, the mask thing. I don't know if you watched the American Horror Story season with the clown who shot half of his face off.
Parts of it. I can always watch like about one third of that show and then it gets too off the rails.
Same. But he wears a mask to make it look like he has a full mouth. And right. When he takes it off, it's so goddamn disturbing. That is how it feels to me when I started to see people without their masks on.
I thought you were going to say that's on. How it feels when people see my ghost nips, my lack of areolas.
No, I was going off on a tangent, as they say. What's your number?
I see. So it's similar to yours, but not specific to my areola. But like I said we had this Mother's Day gathering. It was at my brother's apartment. His building has a beautiful rooftop pool, so we were sitting at the rooftop pool. I brought my swimsuit, whatever. But I had forgot a hat.
Uh-oh.
And I had forgot sunglasses. They were in my car because I have to wear prescription sunglasses.
Oh my God.
And first of all, hats don't fit me, so that's a whole other Oprah. But that's a whole other reason I would have been more powerful if hats would fit my goddamn head. But I, like, when I'm in the sun like that, I do not tan, no matter what, no matter how hard I try. Mm-hmm. But I will burn within like 7 seconds. Like it's not like I'm in a family of fair skinned people. Like there are definitely people in my family who can tan very nicely. My dad could tan very nicely.
Yeah.
But he's dead now. And maybe that's why. But I do not. Like, I have been to Hawaii. And when I came home, people were like, you were in Hawaii? Because I got no color.
Were you inside the whole time?
Yeah. They're like, did you stay in a cave? One time a friend and I went away like for a weekend and we were just kind of sitting by the pool at this hotel we were staying at. And at one point she reached over and grabbed my wrist and said, the sunscreen is no longer absorbing into your skin. You need to stop applying it. Because we'd been out for like, 30 minutes and I had reapplied sunscreen like 20 or 30 times. And she is like, it literally is not absorbing into your body anymore. So please, you need to stop. You need to put it down.
Yeah, at that point, it was just a protective barrier. A layer.
I don't even know what it was. It was just white cream all over the top of my skin because my body was saturated with sunscreen. Anyway, the point is,
yeah.
Can you imagine how sexy I'd be if I was tan? I mean, I like heads would be turning.
Yeah, and
it would be lonely up there.
You'd be so. That's because you'd be miserable. You couldn't go to the grocery store.
No, people would be like, "You're so beautifully tan."
Yeah, and then what would you do? You know?
I mean, I would have to say, you're right, I am. And then I would kill them.
And then
So the universe just knew that. And so it was like, you will forever have the pastiest, whitest skin on the planet.
That's wild. Becky with a CK tan?
I don't know. I think she can a little more than me. But I know we also both use fake tanner. But like, it's so much maintenance.
Right.
Like it just isn't worth it because it's like you put it on and then like 3 days later you're like, I gotta put this shit on again.
I mean,
anyway,
if it was easy, you might be too powerful. So
if it was easy, then it wouldn't be worth it. That's what Mormonism taught us.
Oh my God.
All right, what's your number two?
My number two is the universe knew I would be too powerful if I had inner labia.
I'm so glad I talked about vulvas already, and now we're back to talk about vulvas more. Okay, so what is inner labia?
We all know there are inner labia and outer labia.
And everyone knows that, duh.
Colloquially, they're known as inner lips and outer lips, you know?
Isn't that, like, literally what labia means?
Yeah, I think so in Latin or something, but...
Yeah, anyway.
So...
But no one has ever said inner lips or outer lips. Ooh, I'm gonna kiss your inner lip. No one's ever said that.
Oh my God, I wonder how many of the people that live in my building can hear me laughing. Because my window's open, as always.
Oh good, yeah.
I didn't know outer labia existed until, and I'm sure I've heard this on here before, after my divorce, I was literally on the computer in my computer room.
Yeah, in my, right.
Remember those?
Yeah.
Googling vaginas. I didn't even know to Google vulva. Like,
right.
And so all these pictures were coming up of all these different vulvas. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I thought at first I was seeing defects.
Or like mushrooms growing in the forest.
And now I look at them and go, they're all unique and beautiful and et cetera, et cetera. I don't have a problem with how my vulva looks, but I bet I would have a lot more pleasure.
Power. Yes.
Meaning power. If I had some inner labia for people to suck on. You know.
I thought you said you didn't have outer labia. You don't have inner labia?
I don't have inner labia. Those are the ones from that are tucked inside right by your vagina hole. Uh-huh. And they kind of pedal outward.
Like, I have seen vagine. Yeah. I have seen vagine. I have no idea what you're talking about. I cannot picture this in my mind's eye. And I'm not being the funny gay that's like, ew, vagina's gross. Like, I have been to the land southward. And I don't have any idea what you're talking about.
Then Tisha, okay, so I think
please don't discuss Tisha's body Tisha parts has anymore.
No areola like myself, and probably only outer labia.
But what? Let's not talk about Tisha's body anymore. It's making me very uncomfortable.
It's making you uncomfortable. That's great.
She's, yes, and maybe her it. Too.
Yeah, okay. Well, she'll let us
and
know.
And also, I don't want to have this discussion with her. I don't want to know what her areolas look like. I love her dearly.
We'll delete it in post.
I don't
want to
know if she has inner labia.
We'll delete it in post. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. But that's the thing we do.
If I had a fully fledged vulva, my sexual pleasure might be off the charts. And then I might be full of myself and go out and like have like an actual career or something. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, but, that's true.
And then what would I do with myself? I'd be lonely. I'd die.
Imagine if you had inner labia and areola. Shocking. I'd be, ooh, stunning.
I'd be president.
Ooh, stunning.
Okay, what's your number two?
You would be the general young women's president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You had both those things. So my number two is a genetic defect that I have. And I thought I suffered alone with this genetic defect.
Oh my God.
I thought it was just me. But then on a whim yesterday in this gathering with my family, I asked Becky with a CK if she also had this genetic defect. And she was like, wait, shut up. Why did you just say that?
I'm so
because
scared.
I totally do.
Oh my God.
And then we brought in my other sister and she was like, yes, I also have this genetic defect.
You all only have outer labia. What?
Yes. No, I have a genetic disposition, a genetic code in my genetic DNA of my genes, where I believe truly and deeply in my heart of hearts and soul of souls that I am one vacuum purchase away from having a happy, fulfilled, and organized life. Like, I think if I just buy one more vacuum that I'm going to have, that then all my shit will be together.
Okay.
And so, I think if I get this vacuum, then my shit will be together.
Oh.
And so then I buy that vacuum, and then my shit is not together. And guess what? Two of my sisters confirm they also have this disease. Why do we have this?
I love that you're talking about it as if it's been some confirmed diagnosis.
It is confirmed. Do you know how many vacuums I have?
Scientific books. The number of vacuums or just better vacuums?
I just think surely this vacuum will solve all my problems and make me
powerful.
Where I need to be.
Yeah.
That's why I haven't achieved all of my goals is because I've always had a shitty vacuum.
Can you break this down for me? Because I don't understand it.
So how many vacuums do you own?
One.
Okay. So that seems normal.
Yeah.
So I live in a townhome where there are two floors that we live on. The main floor is not carpeted, but although I do have a couple of rugs,
mm-hmm.
And then the upstairs floor where the bedrooms are is carpeted, okay?
Yes, okay.
Let me count the vacuums I own. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I own 6 vacuums.
Dear God in Christ.
Because I keep thinking if I just buy this one more. And then the funny thing is, while I'm discussing this with my sisters, my sister, who's not Becky with a CK, says, oh, I do have like a, I can't remember the name of the brand, but there's a vacuum that's like a mop. So, and she's like, oh, I do have that. And I was like, oh my God, that's the next one I'm getting.
Oh my God. Are you there? I think we lost you. Did you get sucked into one of your vacuums? Wow.
Sorry, I got a call. Could you hear me?
I could not.
Oh, because I was like, oh my gosh, I've got a call. I have to take it. We need to take a break. It was
no, Trisha. I lost you. I lost you at vacuum. That's also a mop.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And that's the next one I want to buy. Did I say that part?
No.
So when my sister said, oh, I have a vacuum that's also a mop, I was like, that's the one I've been eyeing and thinking of buying that I thought would change my life. And luckily, I have a good friend who I've discussed this problem with, who was like, do not, under any circumstances, buy that mop vacuum.
Which friend, which sister has the friend who said, don't do it?
No, that was my friend. Because my sister has that vacuum.
Oh,
and I
right.
told her, oh my God, that's the vacuum I was planning on getting next. But I had a friend that stopped me.
I think
I have
we need
6 to... vacuums.
And so what we're saying is, if you only had one vacuum, you'd be too powerful? Or if you didn't have this problem?
No, I didn't have this problem.
Oh, okay.
If I didn't have this problem, like maybe that's been the cause of all my financial insecurity over the years, is buying another vacuum, you know?
Have the two sisters, well, Becky with a CK, we'll call the other one Becky with a KI.
Uh-huh.
Did you take a moment to dig into where this comes from? Did Mary Jo?
No,
Coco...
because we talked to Mary Jo about it, and Mary Jo has like one vacuum, and then I think a Roomba that we gave her for Christmas one year or something.
Oh, okay.
So she has a very appropriate number of vacuums. But I think Becky with a CK had like 4 or 5. And
wow.
Becky with a KI had like 4 and 2 Roombas.
I don't know. I don't know what to do with that.
But
I don't know what to do with
that. I will
say,
and this was some helpful information I was able to give to Becky with a CK. If you're on TikTok and you see the viral TikTok vacuum, do not buy it. It is not worth it. And Becky with the CK was like, oh, thank God. I literally have almost bought it like 8 times. I'm like, it's not worth it. It is a piece of shit.
God.
So don't buy it.
Wow. I think this is a metaphor for you guys need to clean up your lives.
That's the point. I could clean it up better if I just had the right vacuum.
But
I don't.
Because you'd be too powerful. Because
so I can't clean it up.
Universe is reining you in. It's for the best.
Also, I mean, again, I don't live in a big house. So it's getting to where, because there used to be a more manageable number of vacuums. So it was like I had one upstairs that was better for carpets and I had one downstairs that was better for hardwood floors. You know, that makes sense, right? That seems like a normal human thing to do. Now it's getting to where I have a bathroom vacuum. Like Becky was like, why do you need a bathroom vacuum? I'm like, I don't. I just don't have anywhere else to keep this vacuum. So it now goes in my bathroom.
It's giving trauma. Giving trauma.
I know, but why? Anyway. Anyway, if I had stopped buying vacuums 6 vacuums ago, I would probably own a huge company now and be a CEO or something.
Exactly. And that you'd be so miserable.
I it's lonely at the top. What's your number 3?
My number 3, and like so many of our top 5s in the past few months, I have honorable mentions. So I'm just like closing my eyes and pointing. The universe knew I'd be too powerful if both of my legs were the same size.
Oh, yeah.
Have we talked about this?
No, but I've noticed it. No, I'm totally kidding.
Oh my God.
In a million years noticed. Oh, so I wanted to dig into your insecurities a little bit.
I was about to lose my mind. Okay. Listen.
Let me just say, every time you've ever said something about your body, and this is not because I'm a gay man, but if you're like, oh, I don't like this, or oh, I've whatever. I'm always like, I've literally never noticed that about you at all.
I know. And then
so the idea that I would notice that your legs, are they different lengths?
They might
like
be.
Like you're crutchy from Newsies kind
no,
of thing?
No, I don't know. I would assume they're different lengths, but I don't know. Just, I would assume they're different lengths because they are also smaller in like volume. So my right calf is about 3/4 of the size of my left calf.
Really?
Yes. And
that's a big difference.
I know. And whenever I point it out, people can't unsee it, which, so I never point it out. The only time I do is like, if I've been in a relationship with someone for a while, I'm like, okay, let's talk about this.
So like your gay ex-husband knew about the different calves.
Yeah, but he's probably forgotten.
He's forgotten.
But he definitely knew, but didn't care. He didn't care. That's
no, because he didn't want to look at your body anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. but
have you talked to like a doctor about this? Like, are you missing a muscle or something in one of your legs?
I used to always wonder if I was missing a muscle. I've never talked to a doctor about it, but my dad has it. It was just the legs were switched.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so Papa Coco only had one pec, like chest muscle.
What?
Yeah, he just didn't have one on one side, and his other muscles, he didn't have any sort of like handicap because of it, because of his other muscles. He was just born that way. So his other arm muscles had like compensated for it. But when you saw him without a shirt on, one side was just like flat.
Just bones.
So that's why I'm wondering, like, yeah, is there something missing in there?
I don't know. Look, I've wondered, I've looked at my legs from all angles, and I've just given up. I've just
but you've never like talked to a doctor about it.
No.
Okay, great. Okay, well that seems smart. that seems like the way forward. Well, also, what if the doctor is like, here's the pill you take to make one calf 1/4 bigger, and then you'd be too powerful.
I know. I don't want to ask that question because I'm not ready for that kind of power.
No, you don't want to open that Pandora's box.
I didn't want this power. I'd be singing that over and over.
What's that from?
I didn't want this pal. I didn't want it. It's from the first song on the Renaissance album, Beyonce.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It was okay. Well,
yeah.
Next time we're together, please don't show it to me because I don't want to have to try to unsee it and not be able to.
Exactly. It's a burden.
So just don't tell me. I don't want to. I can't carry that burden.
No.
I'm carrying so much.
I know. You're already struggling to get power.
I already have
clearly.
five things that are holding me back.
You I've already got vacuums, have six vacuums.
I've got pale skin, and I've got my number three, which is my huge, enormous cock. It's just, it's such a burden.
Wait, is it really your number three?
Yeah. It's like, it's just always
you.
There.
Oh my God, I hate
people,
you.
Like, people are always looking.
Oh my God, I hate you. I hate you.
Like, when I send nudes to people, they, like, their phones break. It's just so big. It's so, and it's, and not only is it fat, but it's long.
Okay.
And the color is so rich and beautiful.
Jeez.
It's just so much to deal with. Like, when I get undressed in the locker room, people run out of the room.
I have screaming.
So I have to, like, stay, I have to keep private. When I change my clothes, because it scares people.
I know.
It scares people. If I stand up too quickly in the sauna, I could hurt someone. It could swing over and just slap someone in the face. It's like if an elephant slapped him with its trunk, you know? It's just too much.
Yeah.
It's too much. So anyway, it's a lot to deal with. And I have to, I think about it every day. I lay in bed and it feels like a cat is laying on top of me. I roll over at night, and it's like laying. It's like laying on top of a thermos. It's like someone left a thermos in the bed. Well, I can't sleep on my stomach because then I wake up and I've lost the. I don't have blood going to my legs anymore because I've been like pinching off the blood. Anyway,
the fuck. Okay, I have a question, and then I want to talk about it.
Okay, go.
Whenever you are on Scruff or Grindr for like 2 seconds before you delete it again.
Right. Before I start crying.
Yeah. Have people commented on the size of your dick?
Yeah.
And what have they said?
I mean, people have said it's a nice dick, basically.
Oh.
That's all.
They haven't said, wow, that thing is enormous. Dear God.
Well, I think they're too scared to say that. Oh,
right.
If they said that out loud, then it might be true. You know what I mean? Then,
they don't want to come on too strong.
Well, and it's revealing some things about them and their insecurities and their obsessions with bodies. You know what I mean? You don't want to seem like the guy that's a size queen. You know?
Right. No.
So they can't say that. So they say like, nice cock, man. That they feel comfortable with. But if they get into specifics.
Are there straight guys on Grindr and Scruff? Because that sounds like a straight guy thing.
Listen, nice cock, if a guy calls me bro, like, my panties are on the floor. Like, on the floor.
Stop.
This is going to come up later in my number five, but
ever say panties again.
But like, you knew immediately what I meant, right? When I said my panties are on the floor.
Yes, of course.
So it's a great metaphor.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm a poet.
Speaking of panties on the floor.
Yeah.
Here's a piece of business real quick. I won an award.
Oh, you did. It was great. And you gave a slightly drunken acceptance speech.
I did.
And said some swears.
Apparently, a first-year MFA has never won.
This is exactly what we knew would happen.
What?
When you went to that school.
Oh, that I would.
That you'd be just like breaking records and breaking hearts over there. with no inner labia to be seen and some pasty white areolas. And you're still winning awards.
Just really quick, and then I'll get on to the point I was trying to make.
Right.
But
about my cock.
Every May, my school has Next Up, which is the acting awards, the directing awards, the writing awards for all the movies that have been and made scenes,
right,
basically.
Right.
You know?
Because you are at an art school where there are people doing all those things.
Right. Several categories. And one of those categories is best grad actress in a drama. And I was up against five other actresses. I was the only first year.
Right, of course.
And the woman who announced the award is currently working in the industry, has won Emmys. And she said, and the winner for best grad actress in a drama is Ashley Neves.
Right.
And no one knew who Ashley Neves was.
Right.
And so it was quiet. And I went, oh, and it was audible through the whole place.
Do people not know that that's your last name?
It's Ashley Nevis, but I also use Ashley Wilkinson.
Oh, right.
But they put Neves because that's my legal last name. And right. The people who were doing the awards, I guess, don't realize I go by Wilkinson. So anyway,
no one knew who you were, but you still
won.
So
I won this fucking thing.
You were like, take that, third years.
What I was going to say was, so I'm sitting in this awards ceremony waiting for it to start.
Right.
And I'm talking to my friend sitting next to me, who's also a first-year MFA. And I was telling him that I have a crush on this one guy, but he's taken. And I was like, honestly, that just makes me want him more.
Right.
And like, if I find someone attractive and find out they have a girlfriend or they're married, I'm like, well, help me out of these pants, sir.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Panties on the floor.
Exactly. All right.
So I don't know if you noticed, but right after you left the award show, I won best cock. They just not that your school is making porn or that there were even nominees. But
they're like,
someone
we forgot.
The board of directors had seen it, and so they were like, "We've got to give this thing an award. Look at it; it's award winning."
Right.
So anyway, so I won that as well.
So what
and I
you're
also
trying
swore
to say,
in my acceptance speech.
What you're trying to say is if you had an average, non-intimidating penis,
right,
you would have too much power.
Right. It'd be so lonely on the top.
Right.
So.
Okay.
Anyway, it's beautiful. It's really beautiful.
I hate you so much.
My cock. What's your number four?
Okay. My number four. The universe knew I would be too powerful if I'm trying to choose one. Remember,
I'm like, where did you go?
If this is kind of a given, I'd never been Mormon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Think about it. If I had never been Mormon, I'd probably have a career. I've never had a career to speak of. I'd have a career.
You wouldn't have all those shitty kids.
I'd have...
Just kidding.
I'd have way less trauma. And be able to just navigate the world like a regular person from birth. But no, I've only been navigating the world like a regular person since I was 35.
Here's the thing about Mormon trauma. That bitch just keeps showing up. You know what I mean?
It comes in waves.
You think you're done, and then it just shows up again.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, no, I'm done with this. And it's like, bitch, you thought.
Oh, my God. My sister and I will go back and forth on Marco Polo. And every once in a while, one of us will say something that we've actually said to each other like 5 years ago, but we say it like it's this brand new idea.
Right.
And that's because it comes in waves and you're peeling away layers. We have several onions, each representing a different trauma. And we're just still peeling away layers from various onions, you know.
And you haven't even started on the shallots. You know what I mean?
I do. Oh, my God. I know exactly what you mean.
So I had an experience this Sunday on Mother's Day. God, I hope my mom never listens to this podcast. But I was just on, I hate Mother's Day and Father's Day on the internet because everyone's like posting their mom. And some queer person had posted about just how much their mom had been an ally for them and how much she'd shown up and how... Oof. She'd saved their life or what, you know, whatever.
Here we go.
And I was literally on a break at work and I started crying and I was so angry at what Mormonism has done to my mother, both as a woman and a human being, but also as like my mother.
As your mom.
Because in many, many ways, my mom is very supportive and, you know, like accepting of me. Like she's never kicked me out of the house. She's never told me I'm going to hell, whatever.
Right.
But she cannot and will not ever show up in that way because Mormonism has told her she's not allowed to.
Right.
Anyway, so I cried about that on my break. So anyway.
I didn't know that.
I texted you when it happened.
That you were crying?
Yes. Go
you
back
said,
and look at
I'm crying
I said, I'm
on
crying
break.
On my break because of what Mormonism did to my relationship with my mother.
I just remember the relationship with the mother part, but not the crying part. I don't
okay.
know.
Okay. Well, maybe I didn't say I'm crying. Anyway.
I was probably at work when you texted it.
You're like, I did not know that. Yes, yes, in fact, you did.
Yes, I did. All right. What's your number four? Four?
Yes. So my number four, the thing that holds me back daily, the thing that prevents me from achieving my goals and dreams. Is my IBS. Because, girl, I be shitting. I be shitting.
Before you consumed alcohol, did you have this issue?
No, of course not. It's only the alcohol.
Okay. Well,
but I am in the bathroom 72 times a day.
And the universe is like, I need you to drink alcohol.
The so universe is like, IBS. I got to slow this man down. Yeah. So we're going to give him IBS so that he can never leave his home.
So if you spent less time in the bathroom, you would what?
Who knows? I probably would have capitalized on that giant cock, you know?
Oh, yeah. That's what I was saying. That's one.
That's what you were hoping. I mean, yeah. I mean, if I wasn't, I mean, I probably would have bought less vacuums. I probably would have a second job that made money.
Yeah, it would like a domino effect.
Or a single job that made a living wage.
Just
that
enough.
Could also,
right.
That
yeah,
could have happened. But no, those jobs are like, we can't hire that guy. He's in the bathroom too often, you know?
Yeah.
So
anyway, I mean, really, if you didn't have IBS, you probably could have solved capitalism for all of us.
Well, and I would have. I was planning on it. I had a plan.
And that's so kind.
But then I was like, oh, I got a shit. I'm sorry.
I need another bourbon.
Hold on. I'm right. really furious that you tied this directly to my alcohol consumption because that feels unfair.
I'm really furious.
I don't want to know the consequences of my actions.
But I mean, I was just curious because one day, a mutual friend of ours and I won't say their name because they don't like to talk about this with people, we're talking about how we have to take, like, supplements to help us take a shit. And you were like, I have the opposite problem.
I don't remember this conversation at all.
And you said, I drink an amount such that I have no gut biome.
Yeah.
So I think about
She's dead. She's dead. That gut biome is dead.
It's like a ghost town.
It's like a ghost town. There are tumbleweeds rolling by and then just a river of shit down the middle of the road. Anyway, this is getting gross. What's your number five?
My number five is the universe knew I'd be too powerful if I had not been born in Louisiana.
Oh, interesting. Okay, why?
Even though it's got great food and a very singular identifying culture, right? Very few states have that, in my opinion. Other than those things, you know, it's a shit state. It is a shitty state.
Yeah.
And it's
we didn't want to tell you, but you're right.
But I mean, I know, of course I know. But like, I'll just give you some random reasons. You know, it'll be like 92 degrees during the summer with 100% humidity, sun beating down on you. The sun starts to set and you're like, oh, thank God. And then it's completely dark. It's 10 p.m. It's still 90 degrees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Mosquito bites, alligators eating toddlers.
Anywhere that there's alligators, I just don't think people were supposed to live there.
You don't fuck with that, right?
No, I just think people moved in there and the universe was like, hold up, that's not for people. That's why I put giant killer lizards there, because people shouldn't be. Fucking idiots.
Cottonmouths, water moccasins, and then there's, you know, I'm living amongst all these white people who are descendants of plantation owners.
Yeah.
No one talks about that, but come on.
Come on.
And so it's just the reddest of red states. Today, either the New York Times or Washington Post posted on Instagram that Louisiana is trying to pass legislation to make the two abortion pills categorically dangerous controlled substances, so that if you sell it to anyone, you could go to jail.
It's like if you sold them heroin or something.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It's just backwards. Like, I will say, my childhood with my cousins and my grandparents I have great memories of that, but also
Laissez le bon temps brûler, you
they're
know?
Not very smart people.
No, they're not.
And it's because of the state.
Yeah.
I really think that. I am a descendant of a plantation owner.
You are?
Yes.
Well, we can't be friends anymore.
It is theorized that ancestor of mine did something that started the Civil War. Yes.
That feels like a Southern family that's like, you know, great grandpa Atticus, you know, he was the reason we had a civil war. And it's not grounded in fact or history whatsoever.
Yes. But I mean,
but it's
also
just family lore.
But my mom has, I said this on here before, I'm sure, has a portrait of Robert E. Lee in her house because we're related to him. And I'm like, Mom, this was years ago. It's like, Mom, it's not okay to have a portrait of Robert E. Lee in the house. And she's like, but I just think it's a cool trivia thing that we're related to him.
Oh my God.
Louisiana.
Oh, Lord help us.
There's a song that goes,
you do make a delicious gumbo.
Thank you. And dirty rice.
Oh, I love that fucking dirty rice. Is that the one with the beef in the rice?
Yes.
Oh my God. I was so sad when Popeyes took that off the menu. It was only there temporarily.
I know. They did a good job.
You need to teach me to make that dirty rice because I miss that shit.
Let's go.
Let's go, bitch.
Come on. What's your number five?
So my number five, I mean, this is going to be obvious to anyone who's listened to this podcast for more than 5 minutes, but the thing that's really holding me back from life, love, liberty
is that
my ancestor was the cause of the Vietnam War. No, it's that I only fall in love with straight men.
Oh.
Like,
Yeah.
Oh God, it's so disgusting. Every day on my Instagram, I will click on the stories of straight men who I follow and whom I'm in love with, hoping for some sort of salacious content, right. You know? And right. it'll just be like a song they like, a jazz song they like or something. Yeah. I'm like, Jesus H. So Courtney and I were at a party this weekend, and by that I mean our Lord and Savior CJ, and we were at a party CJ. This weekend.
Yeah.
And we met a straight man. He was a helper to me. He was a help meet to me that was pulled from my rib. I would do anything for that straight man. Anything. And what I think the straight men in my life, and I'm not soliciting anything right now, but those straight men don't know, if they sent me like flirty pics, I would reveal all, I would be like, here's my PIN number for my ATM card. You know what I mean? Like, I would reveal all. I would be powerless.
So, you would become a caretaker and a helpmeet.
I light up when I see that they posted Insta stories.
I know.
And the one that I'm thinking of doesn't even listen to this pod. So if you're listening to this pod, it's not you. But it is you. It's also you.
The one you met at the party isn't only straight, but also
young enough to be my child.
Yes.
Like, I could have given birth to him.
Wait, and I didn't tell you this. You don't have an labia, but you could.
This is the last time I'm going to talk about that person, but I sent him a text on Friday trying to strike up some conversation because CJ and I are committed to, like, making him part of our lives.
Oh, my God.
I sent him a text on Friday. He saw it on Saturday.
Oh, no. Because
he has red receipts turned on.
Oh, of course he does, because he's straight.
I got a reply today, which is Monday, and that reply was a ha-ha, like a long press ha-ha on your iPhone. And I was like, don't even reply. If you're going to send a ha-ha 3 days later. 3 days later?
Oh, my God.
Don't even do it.
Can we please tell the gentle listeners what you texted him?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
But I will say, last night I was texting with C-Jane,
uh-huh.
and I was like, I'm going to text him again. She's like, don't do it.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, no, but I'm going to text him. And she's like, do not do it.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, I mean, here's the thing. What if all this love and devotion was directed towards gay men? Imagine. I could be in a relationship. I could have multiple sexual partners. Right. I could have a large circle of gay friends and right. acquaintances. But no.
What would happen to you with that much joy?
Well, frankly, it's lonely on top.
And you're not even a top. See?
The IBS says otherwise.
And we've come full circle. Or maybe
the IBS really says you should just be a top. It's going to be easier.
Jesus but anyway. Christ. I knew a gay man who had ass cancer and he was a bottom. Hello?
Wait, did I lose you?
No, I don't think so.
No, I just lost the ability to breathe. All should right. that be on merch? I knew a gay man who had ass cancer and he was the bottom. Like, should that be on a mouse pad or something? Or like
a pencil?
I have thought about, I did the other day, because many, many years ago at a Pride festival, I bought a big like gay fan that like thwacks open, you know?
Oh yeah.
And it was like in some random drawer in my desk, and I pulled it out because it was hot in my room. So I was like, oh, I'm actually going to use this as a fan. And I just thought, wait, I should do fans. Can I do fans on our website? And yeah. I was like, wait, I would need to do like kind of gay content. So for sure we could do the like all your husbands are gay logo on a fan, but we could also do, I had a friend who had ass cancer and he was a bottom on a fan. You're just like, call me mother. Thwack. I had a friend who had ass cancer and he was a bottom, as you fan yourself. Anyway, we're getting off topic, but just imagine how powerful I would be if I was attracted to and fell in love with gay men.
With people of your genre.
With people of my genre.
Yeah.
No, I got to keep falling in love with the science fiction over there with the straight guys.
Science fiction. To be fair, though, I mean, I don't know. I've never had... a male gay friend who didn't crush on straight guys all the time.
Well, I know it because it's our internalized homophobia, and it's all the things. Yeah. It's all the things. But I do feel like, and I'm not trying to compare myself because we're all on a journey. Mine has been 10 years with not a lot of movement, but I'm not trying to compare myself. But I think lots of gay men have crushes on straight men, but they ultimately are like into gay men. But like the straight man is kind of a fantasy or kind of I only fall in love with straight men.
Yeah.
Like I only have crushes on straight men.
Yeah.
Because I'm terrified of gay men.
I mean, I know
I don't want to see or be seen by gay people. You know?
Right. You were texting me about possibly coming to San Francisco Pride, which you're not, but
right.
Because Billy Porter is going to be the grand marshal of the parade. And you were like, but what if I see other gays and what if they see me?
Yeah. Yes.
But I want to hold space for this for you.
Okay.
But I mean, also, I mean, and I do want to say you do have it rough, but not as rough as someone who has an ancestor who owned a plantation and
started the Civil War.
Right. Right.
So, I mean, I'm not saying I'm soliciting the straight men who listen to this podcast or the husbands of the straight women who listen to this podcast.
But you're not saying you're
photos.
Not. Yeah.
But if you did send me photos, I would tell you my PIN number for my card.
And your social security number.
The first reply. It's like shirtless pic. I'd be like, here's the PIN. You know? The second number, I'd be like, here's my PayPal password.
Okay. Do you want to talk any more about this?
No.
Do you want to hear my honorable mentions?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay. Honorable mentions. Universe knew I'd be too powerful if I had married for love.
Oh, fuck.
Universe knew I'd be too powerful if
But you hate marriage.
But we're talking about past Ashley. If past Ashley had married someone that she was actually in love with and was actually in love with her, I'm not saying... But
then at this point, would you believe in marriage?
No. I just...
Okay, so you would have divorced the person you married for love.
Oh, for sure. But...
Okay.
I would be less fucked up because I had been married to a gay man for 13 years.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, that'll do it. Universe knew I'd be too powerful if I had been more queer than I am. Because I'm just slightly bisexual.
You're a teeny bit queer, yeah.
Right, a little bit queer. And if I had been more queer, I probably would have been, like, running for office or organizing.
What if you'd been a straight-up lesbian? Like, unstoppable.
Yeah, I'd be the mayor.
You'd have a butch wife who I would be obsessed with. She would be my favorite person on earth.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, too powerful. Too powerful.
If I had married for money, if I could orgasm from oral, I had a good credit.
You know why you can't? Because of the inner labia.
That's right.
You need, as a vulvologist, we have done a lot of studies, and if you want to orgasm from oral, you have to have an inner labia.
Right. That's...
And you have to have dark brown nipples.
For legal purposes, this is all true.
This is medical advice.
If I had a good credit score, I think there should be a drinking game. Every time you're listening to this podcast in Latter-day Saint,
and you mention your credit score,
you'd have to drink a tumbler full of whiskey.
Yeah, I just did.
And
now I'm shitting myself.
I know you are. And then last honorable mention is if both my feet were the same size, which they're not, so...
I love that you didn't lump that in with your legs being different sizes.
I wanted
it's a
it
whole
to be
it's a whole it's a whole podcast of its own.
It is. My bigger foot has a bunion forming now because of all the years of wearing a shoe slightly too small.
So maybe next week we should do the top five parts of our body that are different sizes.
Oh my God.
You think?
No.
Anyway, this has been Hot Drinks, a podcast that fewer and fewer of you are listening to each week. We encourage you to dissuade people you know who are listening from listening so that that number can continue to shrink.
Right. And
you can support us by buying our merch, and eventually 10 cents makes its way to my bank account and then I send you half of it. Or by supporting our jewelry business or by joining our Patreon and just sending us money.
We are so pathetic. Let's recap. So we did a top five.
Yeah.
Mary Jo Coco didn't notice your earrings.
Nope. Or didn't comment on them. That may be it.
Well,
she may just want to talk to Becky with the CK about it later.
Which is par. And
rather than talk to me about it directly.
And then I have two different feet sizes.
Right.
I won an award. And
do you think it's interesting that like four of yours were about your body? I think you need to interrogate that a little bit. I think you need to sit in that. I think you need to sit in that shadow.
Well, do you remember every time we've done an episode that has to do with being naked or sexual, I've always just had dramatic top fives.
I think you need to go sit in that shadow.
The last time I was like, okay, number three. And you go, wait a second. I want you to really think about whether or not you want to say this next one. And you didn't know what it was.
I just feel like I need to keep things in check.
Remember?
Because I'll tell a funny story about recognizing someone's ass because it was so big. And then you will tell a story about when you were molested as a 7-year-old or something. And it's just not the same.
And I've never, to be straight with you, not straight sexually, but... I never told a story about being molested when I was in 7th grade.
I mean.
But I did around like 4th or 5th grade.
No.
Okay.
No, let's not talk about this again. Okay, you didn't tell a story straight up where you were molested, but like you told the kinds of stories that like if you were to tell them at a party, like record would scratch in the background and people would like walk away. Like I'd tell a funny story about recognizing someone's butt in the BYU locker room because it was so perky. And people would be laughing. And then you'd be like, one time a girl made me spit in her mouth when we were 7. And everyone would just get really awkward and the record would scratch and then people would walk away. Anyway, so this has been Hot Drinks. I hope 180 of you listen to this. What's happening?
Oh, it's just the people that live in my building.
Okay, just someone being murdered.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll be back next week. Or not.
Whether you like it or not. Well, it depends. If we get way too powerful this coming week.
Yeah.
We might have to drop you guys.
Me and my enormous, beautiful cock say goodnight.
And all your vacuums say goodnight as well. Bye.